Hey, my name is James, and you're listening to the TCR, you bitch.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 79 coming at you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. It might just be our best episode yet. We have e-news. We have Overwatch League, a lot of Overwatch League this episode, actually. We're just going to kind of give our thoughts, give our opinions. DreamHack Denver happened. We won't go too far in details, but a lot of winners came out of that, a lot of storylines. So we'll touch on that a little bit towards e-news as well. Let's get to this, though. The date, October 25th, 2017. The time, 8:31 p.m. This is a milestone in TCR, ladies and gentlemen, because not only is Brett not at the recording location, but neither is Anuj. Anuj, do you hear me? Come in, over.
Roger, roger.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, bud?
Is it weird not driving to my house?
It is.
Undisclosed location.
No, I do miss like seeing your face and being right next to you, but this is also like a nice little change of pace also.
Yeah.
It does save some time.
That's why Anuj sounds a little different. You know, if it doesn't sound perfect, I don't know. As listeners, you will have to let us know if it sounds okay. Because I'm a perfectionist, so I will sit here all day and critique. But let me know if it sounds okay. And we have Brett, which you never know if he sounds okay or not, because it's just Brett.
That's right. What's up, family? What's going on?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hit us up on all of our social media, what all the cool kids are doing. We have Twitter at The Center Ring and our website, tcr.gg. That will get you all of our areas there. A little email thing if you ever want to contact us. Give us information, anything like that. You can find all that on our website as well. Also,
and for those of you that are sending in those negative reviews on Tim, we are reading those, just so you know. We might not respond to them, but we read them.
And they just go right to the recycle bin. Also, I'll pimp this out right now. Destiny 2 came out yesterday, and I know we've said it before, but on our Discord, we posted the link. So if you are playing Destiny 2 on PC, or PS4.
Need some people to play with or wants people to hang out with, always feel free to join us
in that. There's people in there now. They're friendly. Most of them, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, for the most part, we're all friendly once you learn the crew. But so if you're into that, if you need a group to play Destiny 2 with, it's an open clan, so feel free to join. We're pretty much going to be on that quite a bit. But getting on to the show here, just a couple days ago, this was posted on Blitz Esports. Of course, Blitz Esports, they're not a bad website. I think they're ran by the guy who did Esports Nutshell News, if anyone remembers that.
He seems like that.
He's our best friend. And so he did an interview with Richard Lewis and basically asked, I'm assuming the question was just, what are your thoughts on the Overwatch League, or do you think it will succeed? And Richard Lewis gave a very thoughtful, solid response. If you haven't seen it, go check it out.
And he did. And the way it started, though, he was like, all right, here we go. And I just kind of cringed a little bit, like, oh, God, this is going to be bad. But
well,
he's insightful.
He's kind of been out and said it before. This is the most insightful and thought-out response I've heard him say of it. Normally, it's...
He's a lot more outlandish when he speaks about it.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess
a little bit more of the PG version.
I always got the vibe that anytime he said anything before, it was kind of just, he just didn't like the fact that it was like an organized league, right? Because so anyone does this, they compare it back to Riot and how they handle League of Legends, which is really frowned upon. But this one was very thought out. I thought he made a lot of good points that I somewhat agree with and some that I don't necessarily agree with. One big thing that he I think one of the big themes of this was the risk involved as investors, right? And that's one thing he even said himself that if they ever asked him for his opinion, he would tell people not to invest $20 million into it. Mm-hmm. Because for the most part, it's an unknown, what am I looking for? Like an unknown result, right? I mean, it's never been done before.
Not even for the most part. It is. I mean, it is unknown. This is something brand new to esports, the way that they're running this league, how there's one season, how, you know, the structure, you know, it's different. It's just way, way different. So, you know, there's just that there is an unknown.
And I know on the show, Brett and I have been pretty much supporters of Overwatch League. We both, in general, I think it's going to succeed. Now, what is your definition of succeeding? I guess that's completely up to you, right?
Right.
If you ask Blizzard, they'd probably tell you Heroes of the Storm succeeded in the esports scene, you know? But if you ask anyone that watches esports, they'd probably ask you what the hell Heroes of the Storm is, right? So,
and he kind of used them as an example too, right?
Well, just all like, of Blizzard's games. He's used all of Blizzard's games, and he
StarCraft.
Yeah,
StarCraft is so frowned upon with how it's handled.
Well, and it's just the way Blizzard has always handled their respective games and esports. Richard Lewis went on to mention that they were kind of this is all by accident, right? Blizzard, mm-hmm. And what he means, I think accident might be the wrong word, but
I think yeah,
it's never been the focus. So. It's not that
games have worked out to be like good esports games, but that was probably not their intention going into
exactly.
the game. Like, hey, how do
they
we
never,
make this amazing esports game?
They never have once made a game and thought this will be the next big esport. Even when Overwatch came out, I mean, there might be some people at Blizzard that thought it, but it was still, let's make a good game first that people want to play. And then if it takes off, then we'll figure out balancing issues and all that, which in any game, Blizzard has not been good about balancing, which we see this in Overwatch, where they over-tweak. Rather than just trying to let people right. figure out how to beat the system or get around things, Blizzard has an issue with if there's a meta for a 2 or 3 week period, that's too long. If there is any type of cookie-cutter meta in Overwatch, it's too much for Blizzard, and they immediately want to mix it up by a rebalance, whether or not it's warranted, who knows?
And that's one area where he brings up a good point, how the game's really not polished in that area. More to your point, they're forever tweaking the game, and they want every character to be relevant. I mean, they're just changing too much. And that was his point. You know, you don't even have a polished game yet. You know,
you have a balance.
You're expecting this to
right?
kind of take off. Right. So, but, you know, I think they're slowly starting to figure this out. I mean, there's a few more tweaks that they can make to make it more balanced. But, you know, I don't think they're too far off. I mean, there are some glaring things that jump out like Mercy. But, you know, they're not that far off. If they just listen to the pros, they'll be in a good spot.
Yeah,
I don't think that's who they built the game for either, right? Like, I don't think the intention, again, like we just mentioned, the intention of them was to build an amazing esports game in this case. Like, this game appeals to the masses. That's why there are 20 million plus players in this game. It's because the game is built to be focused to the masses at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, let me start off with saying I love Blizzard as a company. They're one of the few game development companies that I feel like gives you the full game, right? Like even their loot box system in Overwatch, I feel like it's still much friendlier version of like getting money from your fan base without like not giving anything in return. So as a whole, I love Blizzard. I do agree with Richard Lewis and a lot of his points that he made though. One thing that you haven't seen is it doesn't feel that natural. Like it does feel like a lot of this is forced upon the community. In terms of making it an esport, like again, I still feel like to me, and this is my opinion on this. I mean, I know you both disagree. I feel like it's more of a casual play style for a game because I find it very hard to watch as a viewer. I watch a lot of esports in general, right? But like, I feel like Overwatch, I just find it very difficult from a viewership standpoint. And that's just as important as you know, how the playability of it, of the game is also.
Yeah, I think when it comes to like viewership and everything like that, I always try. I mean, I understand some games are going to be more, they're going to be simpler to watch than others. I think when discussing this, and we kind of talked about it in our pre-show meetings, is that it almost seems like if you like Overwatch, if you play Overwatch, then you're excited and you could see it being a successful venture. And if you don't play it, that's where they can kind of come into play. I think on both sides, you have arguments. Mm-hmm. I see where this, like how Anuj, you said, like you felt like this was kind of forced, right? Like,
yeah,
it wasn't
it
a
doesn't
natural
feel organic.
Growth, right? It doesn't feel organic. I agree with you in that mainly because that's kind of Blizzard's MO, right? I mean, case in point, StarCraft II. Like, that game should, for the most part, everyone kind of considers it dead, right? As far as from where it once stood was, like, the top esports, right? It was, like, one of the premier games to watch and play. And now the only reason, in my opinion, like, that and Heroes of the Storm is even around anymore is because Blizzard has this just mass amounts of money to dump into these games and never actually call it quits. And as long as they don't ever call it a quits, they're going to be fine with that. But I think Blizzard's okay with that, you know? I think Blizzard is kind of one of these quantity over quality type of companies when it comes to their esports anyways.
Yeah. With StarCraft, it's a little different in my opinion, because it's also one of the only good RTSs left out there, you know? So even just by a process of elimination, they have really no competition there. And then even Heroes of the Storm. I mean, Heroes of the Storm, even though it's classified as a MOBA, do any of y'all feel like it's a true MOBA? You know, like, I mean, seeing and playing other MOBAs, I don't feel like it is.
I mean,
so it's kind of its own little genre that'll survive, but I don't think it'll excel.
No, because the people that are into that, I mean, they kind of, like, I feel, look down on the game. Because it's not as in-depth as a
it's
Dota,
considered,
and it's easy. Yeah.
It's kind of a MOBA with training wheels, if you will, because it's a lot more team-oriented. So if you have good teammates, maybe you can cover up poor play, right? Or you don't have to know every, you know, there's no items or anything like that. But again, though, to bring it back to your point of, like, excelling, I think Blizzard is okay with not excelling. I don't think Blizzard, when they start this, they're like, okay, we're going to knock out Dota or Counter-Strike as far as being a top esport. And I guess that's why when I'm looking at this as a success, I could see it for, like, your average match, like, in regular season, 20,000 viewers. Like, to start, I think that's what you're probably going to see. And realistically, I mean, look at ESL Pro League. That's about your average viewership for an ESL Pro League game on YouTube.
Yeah, the difference is they're not asking for 20 million to be involved. So I think the expectations are going to be significantly different than it would be, you know, for a Counter-Strike. And Counter-Strike, you can have five guys get together, go unsponsored, and carry yourself to a major if you're good enough to do it, right? In this, you know, these teams had to invest 20 million to get a chance at the piece of the pie. And so I think the expectations going into this game versus other Blizzard like ventures is going to be completely different.
Yeah. I think it's going to be more than 20,000. And this is why there's three things that you need for this thing to work out for a brand new league: hype, which they have, right? We've been, you know, biting at the bit for this league to start forever now.
Yeah.
There's one. And star power, you have to have star power, which they have.
Yeah.
You know, and players like Sinatra and Siegel. And the third is it enjoyable to watch? Which I think they're getting better at. I really don't think it's still there, but it's getting a little bit better from a viewership standpoint.
I'm really anxious to see with our buddy Alchemist now being like the lead guy as far as being in the Overwatch League, he's like the lead guy who works with Blizzard on, hey, how can we make this easier to watch type of job? I think that's what he does.
And it's in good hands.
Like, yeah, and he's like the best hire they could have made because he's come from success, right? Like,
well, and he's come from other backgrounds, right? He's done World of Warcraft. He's done Counter-Strike. He's done Overwatch. He's done all of
that. That's what I'm saying. Generally, what he's involved with is a successful operation, right? Like Counter-Strike especially. Like he's helped evolve that
phenomenal E-League.
I mean, it's just fantastic. So like I think that's, they've hired the right people. Blizzard is saying all the right things. It's just, will, you know, now the other half is dependent not on what Blizzard does, it's how the fan base reacts to it, right? And so that's where I'm concerned is I think Blizzard's doing everything that they can. They really seem like they are, other than I think starting late, but
yeah, I think right out of the gate, I think they're going to have really, really high viewer counts. And how they do on day one, that's going to be so important. Because if they just totally, you know, fail, production values bad, you know, no one's going to come back and watch week two. So week one is very important. Like if you, they're going to have the viewership, I think it's going to be massive because of, you know, the hype surrounded around it. But they have to like get people hooked day one.
There's a few things that,
to your point, it's going to be more around 20,000.
There's a few things that I wish I would have seen Blizzard do prior to this point now, because we're basically in crunch time, right? Like it's the ship has sailed.
2 months away.
Yeah, right. It's the ship has sailed. We're honestly just waiting for this to start to see how it's handled. I wish I would have seen something more so in game to support it. Right? I was wishing, and maybe there will be. When the season starts, who knows? Maybe they'll do a giant Overwatch League update with the skins and everything. And on the homepage, they have an Overwatch League section in Overwatch that I can click and see the schedules, see leaderboards, see stats. But I want that in-game because that's where you're going to get people to see it and notice it. I mean, if it's on the website, that's even better. But in-game is where you're going to get
those casual...
But it's
where you'll get the casual fan to watch it, right?
And
you need the casual fan viewership for this to work.
There's a game that does that very well, Rocket League. And maybe you can attribute that to the high viewer count that they have on Twitch, but maybe not. But they have a function in-game where, you know, it's Rocket League Season 6. And then if they're live, it'll say live. You click that link.
Yeah, I think that's a huge... I mean, that's a huge reason I think that their esports scene in Rocket League is so good. Because look at the player base of that game. It's not like it's not what it was when it first came out. You know, there's...
I can name one, Squishy. That's it.
It's not like but I mean, I think that's a huge reason. I mean, we brought it up today. They have Rocket League Overtime, which is a weekly hour-long show on Twitch that talks about the esports scene, like professional Rocket League and Rocket League in general. And today it had like around 8,000 viewers, right? And I can promise you people see that in-game, and it's all pimped out through the in-game. And then, Brett, you brought up that you think there's going to be really good viewer counts because of the hype. And I wish there was a way, and maybe I'll start doing this. Like when I play Overwatch, I'll just casually ask people, I wonder what the hype is for someone who doesn't follow esports. Is this hype just because our circle of friends are into esports, so we just kind of get hyped for anything esports related? You know what I'm saying?
Or, let me give you a quick story on this, because it's actually kind of... directly related to what we're saying here. So this past weekend, for those of you that don't know, it was the Bali, which is like a big Indian festival,
of
right?
Of course.
So
oh,
cousins
man.
And family.
I'm marking on my calendar.
It's like Indian Christmas, okay? So it's kind of a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways...
Santa Claus? No,
of course we don't. So we had a bunch of family friends in town, all of our cousins.
They have 200 Santa Clauses.
Roughly right around there. So all the family, cousins, blah, 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 were all in town. So one of them is exactly my age. He lives in L.A. And I never played games with him growing up or anything, but we always hung out a lot, like at all of our family functions. And so he moved to L.A. after college. So anyways, I asked him about it, because isn't that where the arena is over there? Like the arena that they're making or something?
Yeah, I think it's going to be in L.A.
He asked me about our podcast. So he's like, man, I see you've been pimping it out. Like, talking to me about it, so he wanted me to talk to him about esports. Well, he doesn't play any games. Okay,
isn't that always a lovely conversation?
Yeah, I mean, it was like just explaining it to him to begin with. So he, you know, started off with Counter Strike and working my way around.
A little bit of me dies every time.
He knew, like, surprisingly nothing of, like, I was surprised about Overwatch. Like, Counter-Strike, I was surprised about, too. I was like, you live in L.A. They're not, like, pimping it out on the streets. Like, this is going to be, like, a live venue over there. None of that. And so, like, I feel like the publicity, you're right, needs to be just everywhere. Like, especially in-game. In-game is where you have your whole supposedly 35 million user base audience is there. And it's not on there yet. Even if you're waiting till the launch of the league, that also kind of feels late, similar to the announcement of the league felt late.
I agree. I think we've learned that there was always a lot more behind the scenes going on than what we gave Blizzard credit for. But I mean, I don't disagree with you. I mean, you're like you said, your cousin lives in LA. They have a team. This should be blasted everywhere. I mean, hell, we live in Dallas. And oddly enough, I did hear them talking about it on the radio station the other day. That, like, isn't sports related. It was like a music station, and they brought it up about the Dallas Overwatch team. But even then, that was just a couple of old dudes that I think were kind of making fun of it.
Probably kind saying of, something.
Kind of tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. I think one guy was like, hey, like, no, guys, this is actually really cool. Like, I'm into this stuff. And they were like, well, whatever, nerd. But nonetheless, though, it was still on, right?
But yeah, at least it's something.
But you, like, have again, to get those casual fans. And that's where I want to know, is there hype within the casual fan base of Overwatch for this? Because realistically, me and Brett, we love Overwatch, and we play it on like a weekly, almost daily basis if we have the time. Anuj, I would say you're more of a casual, where it's like you might pick it up if we force if all, you to play it.
If all my friends are on, I'll like get on. But right. If I'm choosing the game, I'm probably not playing.
Right. But so you consider yourself that casual fan?
Yeah. And yeah. And now, I know about the game. Like, I just like, but, I know enough,
like,
about the game.
Separate yourself from an esports podcast, right? So now take Anuj, who's the casual fan who plays it when his friends want him to. And maybe he doesn't host an esports podcast and has to follow this stuff. Like, would you even care that there's professional matches going on?
I mean, honestly, no, but that's hard for me to, like, say that, because I'm sure there are people more interested than me that would also consider themselves a casual fan, yeah. Right? Like, I of watch, course. Obviously, a ton of Counter-Strike, trying to watch more COD, but obviously, you know, like, my heavy interest lies in CS, so it's a little bit of a biased voice there, and I'll give them that. But I just, like I said, my biggest worry is I just find the game hard to watch. Like, I like the game. I have nothing against the game itself. I think it's a good game. It's, like, fun to play with your friends. But kind of like Richard Lewis mentioned, you know, like, you have to see if it's, like, you know, a blue shot coming out or a red shot coming out to, like, maybe know what exactly that play was. And it's just a lot happening in a, you know, a tight space. And so I hope they figure that out. Like I said, we all have faith in Alchemist to come through. And if that's what you actually do, Alchemist, tell us if we're wrong here. But to make this, like, viewer friendly and, you know, easy for a casual fan to understand, you guys are always going to understand it, right? Like, right. You know, every character, you play the game. So
a lot of it's going to be, a lot of it's going to rely, though, on, like, the casting talent as well. Right? How well can they explain the chaos? Because think of, like, a game like Dota 2, right? And I'll even go back to this latest international where, like, you and Brett kind of watched it for the first time. And if I recall, you both enjoyed it, right?
Yeah.
But it's like they have that noob stream where those casters break it down really well, and they have those hints and everything. But even then, even if it's not just the noob stream, what they do amazing at in Dota, those team fights in Dota, you, even if you play, like, you really don't know what's going on because there's just so much. But it's in the replays where they slow things down and those casters can explain what's going on and then get back to the action quick enough.
Now, they already signed one of their casters, right? Or was it maybe a commentator?
For Overwatch League?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I mean, I would have to assume you have your ZP.
I follow him on Twitter. And he announced it that he was going to be one
was
of
it
the, he was officially
Monte
like,
Cristo?
Damn, dude. Snoots, maybe? I don't know.
Okay.
Shoot.
Oh, yes. I know who. Oh, man. I don't know his name. I'm a terrible esports podcast host, but I know who you're talking about.
So, yeah, he's been hired on because I know he was making the move to LA.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I don't know how he is. So, you know, I'll have to see. I don't watch any Overwatch now because it's in some ridiculous, like, I think it's Korean time zone half the time. If you want to watch good matches, I don't even know when it's on now. So that's also a little bit of a problem. Is
yeah.
Everything
yeah.
prior to this league has been so unorganized for how to watch the game.
Yeah, but the team fights are insane because, you know, it's team fights are it's just 10 people in just one cluster ball of, you know, things going on. So, yeah, I mean,
see, I have a question for you both. So, like, whoa. Blizzard obviously knew this league was coming out for a long time, right? This is not something that they thought of 6 months into the game.
No, I think they always had it in their back pocket.
Yeah, they had to, right? It's just too big of a production of what they're putting on for it not to be. So, why did they not do a better job, or at least in my opinion, of like pimping out the game much earlier in this process? They didn't have to have their league. I'm not saying have the league ready 6 months into the game, but like even the way that they are showing games, promoting, you know, other people that are hosting tournaments for your game. Like, I just don't feel like they've done a lot to, like, you know, make that a good viewing experience now and build off of it. Like, they've just kind of let them run it the way they want to. They haven't really worried about where tournaments are hosted. So I just feel like they haven't done the greatest job of, like,
well,
just setting it up.
There's multiple theories out there, and I think only a few have been confirmed. So this is just kind of my opinion, mostly right
per
now.
Sources.
Right,
per
yeah.
Sources.
It's my sources are telling me this. But it's the fact that Blizzard purposely didn't allow a lot of these tournament organizers to pick up their game for... because they knew this Overwatch League was starting, right? It's the same reason why Blizzard told players and teams, hey, don't sign these guys to really long contracts or don't sign them at all because we are going to start our own thing. So don't get comfortable with our game. And to a fault, that kind of hurt its professional growth, right? Like,
right.
Any new game is going to have issues, but yeah. At this point, you could have at least used, like, ESL... and I mean, E-League did their thing, right? You could have used
Dream
all those Mad. Guys
yeah.
to
any one of those guys. They could have used anybody
yeah.
to, like, at least be like, "Hey, you know what? Run with it for the first year
to be
do
a guinea pig, right?"
Yeah.
But I really think it was Blizzard told them we're going to do this league, and I think it scared them off in the sense of like, "Well, we're not going to spend this money then, right? We're not going to focus on that when we have other games that we need to worry about." Because, and that's my only thing, because, I mean, hell, look at some of these games that ESL, I don't even know what to Google. Look at some of these games that ESL, like, rocks, right? They have Vainglory. They have a Vainglory League. They have all these...
Paladins, probably.
Yeah, Paladins. They host
Gears
Paladin
of War.
Tournaments. Gears of War, like, a For Honor. They have a For Honor Pro League, for crying out loud. So,
is that really?
Yes,
still going on?
Yes. Yeah. So you can't come at me and be like, "Well, it's just because Overwatch is difficult to watch and doesn't, you know, they don't want to get involved with the pro scene because of whatever reason." No, they get in. This is esports, right? People get involved in everything. It had to have came from the top. It had to have come from Blizzard telling them, "Hey,
like, don't do this.
Don't we suggest you don't do this."
I would
because
see what
it's
they should
bad for business. If they're pimping out contenders or, you know, anything like that, it's bad for business, right? For like the end game, the ultimate, like, Overwatch League.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I
think
that's
my theory.
See, Blizzard should have been like, in my opinion, they should have been like, "Hey guys, we are launching a league, but we're launching it in December 2017. So you got 1 year to like do what you want with it, make as much money as you can off of it, but we're coming with our own league ultimately, and that's like our plan. But by not giving them a timeline or setting them up, nobody was willing to take the chance on it, like you're saying. And that's problematic. Like, it just doesn't set the game up.
Right.
They have to be flawless come December time, right? There's no room for error, and there's no true guinea pig to go ahead of them.
Yeah, and more to your point, Anuj, like they were dangling that carrot out for so long. I don't know about you, Tim, but I was about ready to be like, you know what? You've been saying this league's going to start for forever.
We talked
now,
about it on this show like 10
dates.
Times.
Like, well, I think I'm almost out.
This is already third or fourth episode where we've solely dedicated to debate Overwatch League. And it's because every time something comes out, we always have this discussion off show, and we're like, you know what, let's save it because this is a good discussion, because everyone has an opinion on it, on how they feel like it's going to work out, how it was handled coming to, and just what is Blizzard going to do with it. It's the complete unknown. And it's like, to what Anuj just said, it has to be flawless, because there is no other way. There's no one they can blame but themselves.
Well, no other way to grow, right? They're only allowing themselves to make this game grow.
And think about it. If Overwatch League fails, if Blizzard, the people who made the game, if this league cannot succeed, and then all of a sudden say they're like, just kidding, this isn't working out. ESL, you can go ahead and do your pro league now for this. Well,
who's gonna do that?
Yeah, they're going to be like, no, you guys couldn't even make this work out. Right, you guys had millions of dollars to invest into this, and every resource available. You had every line of code to fix this game's stat keeping ability, and yet you couldn't do it. So if this fails, then it's done. It's
done. Don't you think there's like bigger harm that could be done in the big picture? And again, what Richard Lewis mentioned, which I thought was a great point, is they have to succeed.
For the sake of esports, they have to.
Well,
venture capitalists are going to come in and want to put $20 million up front in another video game if this fails. Like, I know there'll be other games that probably draw people's attention, but don't you think there'll be so much scrutiny, and Overwatch will be referenced every time if it doesn't do well? Like, well, remember Overwatch League? Like, you had to pay $20 million and these guys made nothing off of it. Like, they just have a lot of pressure, and it's a lot of pressure to make esports right, and it's not in a bad place right now, but this could scare a lot of people away from it, especially with all the celebrities involved, right? Like, how many celebrities do you see involved in this right now? It's crazy.
Yeah, maybe I kind of differ there. I mean, if this doesn't work, I don't feel like it's gonna, like, people are gonna invest in the next big thing. More to your point, Tim, you know, these are investors, they're gunslingers. I mean, if there's something big that has a lot of hype surrounding it, I don't think it's going to scare them off. But, you know,
I think
$20 million
if Overwatch League fails,
there,
I don't see them investing in any other Overwatch project, or maybe even Blizzard project for that matter. But maybe another company or another game, you know, I don't see it being an issue there.
I don't know. I could see it
how they're saying, like, you know, screw you, Blizzard. You know, we just invested $20. We're not going to do anything else with you ever again.
That's the counter to Richard Lewis's like whole argument, because that's his biggest fear, right? As a proponent of esports, his biggest fear is that Valve truly F's this up, and you don't see big investments coming in. You don't see people willing to take
Blizzard.
Yeah. I'm saying. I'm so used to Valve effing things up. I use them as an example at CS:GO Dev. So yeah, like, if Blizzard messes this up. Yeah, I could see it. I mean, I feel like it would scare people away. It would scare me away. If I was investing that kind of money, it's just a lot of money that they're asking for. So Blizzard got theirs, right? Like, at the end of the day, if this fails, Blizzard's walking out with, what, $200, $400 million, you know, come the end of the day here. They're in a pretty good spot either way. It's the investors that are going to take the hit. And ultimately, you know, they're the ones that are going to matter for the long-term growth of this sport. Comes to sponsors, investors, like, these are the people that need to get involved if we want to see the money grow to like Dota 2 kind of level money.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I lean more towards Anuj in this one, to where if this does fail, the ramification of what this could have for a this type of league in esports, I think it would definitely push all of it way back, because that's what we were saying at the beginning of this, right? Is that, at least for me, like, I love the fact that these are city-based teams. I like the fact that they're changing their organization names. I understand people's reasoning. I know Sir Scoots and Ms. Harvey, Brett, you were saying we're having issues on Twitter that, well, why can't Cloud9 just keep their team name? That's ridiculous that you're making these organizations. Well, because realistically, these organizations are ownership groups, and you don't name teams after your ownership group.
Right.
Sorry.
They want a level playing field. If I'm investing $20 million and, you know, I'm getting in this league, I don't want to be in one region in Dallas where, you know, Cloud9 has a big influence here. And, you know, they're typically American team. They have a cult following. I don't want to already start off with a disadvantage.
But even then,
a big part of their revenue is going to be merchandise sales, right?
So, I would assume, but think of it like even in that case, though, right? We're just talking about the big investors, right? We're talking about the $20 million investors, but the people behind some of those investors are Cloud9 and NRG and Immortals, actual esports teams. So if this fails, they're going to look if they ever get approached again to do another league like this, they would be like, I could see where they're like, no, like, we've already done this once. It doesn't work in esports.
Like, what makes you think Cloud9 can make it work again in the next sport? And again, Brett's right in the sense that, yeah, it's kind of a game by game basis. Yeah. I just think it puts a different fear in the back of their mind that they wouldn't have.
It puts a bad taste in their mouth.
Yep.
If it fails, I don't think it will fail to the point where I think they'll see their money back is what I think. Mm. Maybe not obviously right away, but I think they all knew that going into it as well. I think Blizzard's in this for the long haul. I think all the people who bought teams are in it for the long haul, and I think they all knew that getting into it. You don't just put $20 million down because you like the idea. You know, like, all these guys have done their research. It's not like Blizzard was trying to pull one over on anyone.
Yeah. These are savvy investors that are already in structured leagues, so
that don't know a lot about esports, though. These investors don't know a lot about esports.
But we just said that Cloud9's getting into this, right? Like, Cloud9, Immortals, and some other esports franchise are getting into them.
So even Envious, who we know they know a lot about esports. Envious is not the one putting up the money. They all have backers. Like, they all have backers. It's not Cloud9 investing $25 million. They're trusting these organizations to run with the branding under their brand. But, like, Marshawn Lynch, Jennifer Lopez, all these people that are getting involved, these are the ones you have to be afraid of them not wanting to take those chances and putting up $3, $4, $5 million next time individually. Cloud9 and all them will stay invested. It's what they do. You know, this is like their world. So if this fails, I don't think it necessarily kills off Cloud9. It might hurt them in a financial sense, but it's the investors that are the bigger issues.
Right. You hear that, Alchemist? Don't ruin JLo for us, all right?
Hey, JLo don't brings money to the table. JLo. We'll take Mia Khalifa. We'll take anybody at this point that's got some money, okay?
This is a family show, Anoush, all right?
Is she family-oriented?
Yeah, one could say that. Saw one that she really was oriented to her mom. So, you know.
Oh, gosh.
No, I think bottom line is this could go either way in the worst way, right? Like, if it succeeds, it could change the landscape of all future esports, right? Mm-hmm. If this succeeds, you could see Valve all of a sudden being like, you know what? Maybe we should start caring about how Counter-Strike is handled a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if this thing succeeds, it's like, oh, one season can succeed in the game.
Give Valve that kind of credit.
Like,
hey, man.
Until they have shown.
Valve did say that they are going to announce the next major by the middle of next month. Mm. So
finally,
if you see a pig flying near your window at work, don't freak out. It's just Valve actually announced a major before the next one.
We can actually schedule something in advance.
And then on the opposite side of the scale, if it fails, you're going to have a line of people saying they told you so.
I don't want to be one of those people, though. I don't think
anyone really does. I mean, even Richard Lewis said, like, yeah, I'm not a fan of it, but I absolutely, for the sake of esports, I think everyone wants to see this succeed. I don't play League of Legends at all. I'm not a fan of League of Legends. Not a fan of Riot. But I like seeing it succeed, right? I like the fact that
I like seeing
people,
these guys do well. I like these guys get to play video games for a living. Like, it's like all of our dreams, our childhood dreams, you know, we get to see it through these guys and see it happen. And I mean, I want to see any esport game, except for For Honor. I really didn't like that game, but I would like to see any esport game really succeed and take off. And that includes, you know, obviously Overwatch.
Yeah. I'm raising a Rocket League pro right now. Getting in on that.
Yeah.
Well, it's mm-hmm.
So we can blame you when my teammate's a 4-year-old.
He's already got the trash talk down, so.
I'm not going to lie. Four-year-olds are probably better than me at that game.
Truth. Truth. I mean, any final thoughts then? Oh, I mean, one thing, though, since we're just on it, I was going to have it in E-News, but I guess it doesn't matter. We have a couple more team announcements right now. Los Angeles, which, correct me if I'm wrong, was that the team that was rumored to be Titans? Spartans?
Oh, somebody was Spartan. That was supposed to be LA, yeah, because remember we were talking about USC and all that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they are not that. They are LA Valiant.
Looks kind of cool.
Okay.
LAV.
Yeah, sure.
Lav.
And then one team, you know, I looked at their logo and I thought, that looks familiar. You have Boston announcing their team, Boston Uprising.
Might as well be Boston, the center ring.
Yeah, that's
Boston team.
So if you haven't, if you're a listener of the show, if you go to our Twitter at the center ring, I tweeted out something that's pretty humorous, but their logo looks strangely familiar. I'm not saying that they even know we exist, because they probably don't. But damn.
It's pretty damn close. Hey, while you're there, hit that follow button if you don't mind.
That's right. Hit that follow button. Hit that retweet on that one. Why don't you?
We don't ask for them a lot.
No,
but it would be nice.
We don't. I don't like groveling, but hey, beggars can't be choosers. Follow us on Twitter and retweet it. They never even responded. You know why? Because they're scared. That's
why.
Yeah,
they see that Adidas lawsuit coming in.
They
right
know.
Now.
They know what they did. All right? They know that they saw that.
You're about to see a new mock-up come out tomorrow. You'd be like, looking for
a fan-suggested
logo.
They Googled eSports Podcast and saw us being third on the list and was like, dang, I like that logo. Let's get that logo.
Second.
Oh, second now. Whoa.
Dang, it's moving on up.
Whoa. So, no, their logo is
really similar to ours.
It is very. I mean, I know we don't have the most original, but geez, that's like the same thing. Oh, well. The 76 skin, though, looks pretty dope. So I'll give them that.
The skins do look pretty cool in general, though. Like, all the skins that they've been showing along with the logos. I've been liking that. I think they all look good.
I agree. So we'll see more teams to come. I think China's...
Shanghai Dragon.
They're going to be called number one.
number one.
How awesome would that be?
Seoul, I think, announced that they're going to announce their team here shortly, as soon as they announce their full roster. I think they're doing it all at once, is announcing their roster and the team name. So we'll keep an eye. And that would be awesome, but I think with all these very serious, generic names, I think that's...
You can't have a funny one.
No.
It's got to be super serious.
Super. We're esports. We're very serious. All right, let's get into some e-news and wrap this piece up.
Wait a minute. Is that music getting us into e-news?
Production value, man.
Production value.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I love it.
Let's see here. Looking up in CSGO, we mentioned DreamHack Denver actually wrapped up last weekend, meaning maybe some DreamHack Austin announcement. Maybe. Hopefully. Please.
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 Please. Please.
I don't know what the hell DreamHack is doing, but man, they even responded. They responded
still.
Me on Twitter one time. They're like, yeah, we're going to announce them soon. And that was like a month ago. Come on, dude. Announce this. We got to make plans. People got things to do. Anyway, so DreamHack Denver, that did happen last weekend. First time ever. Screenshots looked pretty good. The pictures looked cool, I guess. In CSGO, Cloud9 ended up beating Big. So they ended up taking first. Renegades took third. And so did Mouse Sports. They shared third and fourth.
Yeah, they beat a couple good European teams to get to the finals. You know, they beat Mouse Sports and then Big in the finals and played well. It was nice to see the new Cloud9, the new and improved Cloud9, working well together. You know, they looked good.
If you're going to be a good team, you got to beat those smaller tournaments.
A good weekend for Cloud9.
Overall, speaking of, Cloud9 also defeats PSG Esports in the North American Invitational and Rocket League. Awesome stuff, man. I recently, I don't know what it is, but like the professional, the pro Rocket League scene has got me hooked. Those matches are a lot of fun to watch.
Those interviews are funny too.
Doesn't help
Squishy.
That Cloud9 dominates.
Like, wait, am I missing out on this? I need to get in on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rocket League. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I catch it here and there when it's on TV and stuff, but not...
It's good stuff.
So the best player in Rocket League, Squishy, the interviews, it's like Popovich, the coach of the Spurs in basketball. You don't know what to expect when you interview him. He's either going to be, like, super sarcastic, or he's just going to be, like, just minimal answer. And I think Squishy does the same thing. He's doing it to just kind of be funny, but... You could just tell the interviewers are just like so uncomfortable. It's hilarious.
And in Smash at Denver, you had Hungrybox beating Mango in the finals. And in Smash U, you had Zero beating Salem. So go figure, Zero winning a Smash U tournament. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I know. Does anybody else ever win those things?
Once in a while. You know, once in a while. Not very often, but they do. In Dota, tomorrow, the ESL 1 Hamburg. That is a major that starts up tomorrow through the 29th. I think you're going to see Liquid win that. I don't see how they've slowed down since the international, and they just recently won.
They won again, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't see how Liquid can not come out on top of that, but you never know. And what else here? COD. Call of Duty, Activision, I guess I should say, they released details of the new Call of Duty World League coming up here. A lot of format changes going on. So
a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money. So I'll just kind of quickly run down some of the big bullet points here. They are creating an amateur-level division. The prize pool for the year is said to be around $4.2 million. The Call of Duty World League will now split into two divisions of eight teams that compete.
Words are hard.
In LAN settings in two separate stages, Stage 1 and Stage 2. So basically qualifying teams will compete in an MLG arena in Ohio, and then at least twice a season for a spot in the playoffs. So you have all that, and then you have... the bottom set, so you have, like, that's, I guess, Stage 1. And then Stage 2 is the teams that couldn't qualify will automatically be put into kind of that amateur league and try to compete their way back up.
I like it.
So, also, a big signing here today. Echo Fox actually officially announced their team today. So that was pretty good. And it looks like they're going to have one of the stronger teams, just according to what I've been reading per sources. But they signed Facento, Saints, Assault, and Gunless. I think Gunless is probably the biggest superstar of the group, but they've all had their moments. I believe it was Saints was like one of the first major tournament for the last Call of Duty. So, yeah, they got a pretty powerful squad, and from what people are at least saying, that they will be super competitive in the scene.
Plus, I think, they're doing the LAN tournament here in Dallas December 8th?
8th to the 10th.
Okay, second weekend in December. So we will actually,
I'm excited for this to kick off here.
We'll probably all be there.
Oh, 8th, yeah, for sure.
8th through the 10th. So if you are going to the MLG Call of Duty event there in Dallas in December, let us know because we will definitely be there. And obviously we'll talk about more of that coming up, though, when the leak starts. I mean, really, coming up here in the next month or two, December is going to be a busy month in esports. Busy. Which is weird because normally it's not. Like, normally from Thanksgiving to about mid-January, there is nothing to discuss in esports. And yet now you have
COD, you have Overwatch League,
the major's going to be approaching.
Yeah, you'll have the CS Major qualifiers going on all at the same time. So it's going to be fun.
All of a sudden, a lot going on.
Good holiday season.
Awesome.
Happy Diwali and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, sure, man. Whatever floats your boat. Happy holidays. How about that?
Yeah.
Episode 79 is done. It's in the books. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. If you skipped around or listened all the way through, all the same, I love you and appreciate it. Let us know on Twitter how you liked the show. How did it sound for our first complete remote episode where we're all in our own living areas. Kind of nice. But again, that is at The Center Ring on Twitter, our website, tcr.gg. Whatever you do, like, review us on iTunes, whatever you have to do to make sure the show lives on into perpetuity. And yeah, that's it. We'll be back next week. We'll talk some Epicenter for Counter-Strike and whatever else is going on in the esports world. Until next time, for Brett and Anuj, I'm Tim. We'll see ya.